Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hey, 5 Tribe. Today's episode is called How to Stop Overthinking, and we were just joking about how great we are at this. Over the overthinking part, not the stopping part. With me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm good. Yeah, I was like, you know, what's the one thing we're like super good at that we can help people with? I know. Jeez. Well, I will say that we both tend to be in our heads a lot. We both tend to overthink, catastrophize, get anxious. But I will give us a little bit of credit that over the last few years, we have developed a lot of coaching skills and coping skills and awareness about this. And I think we've both gotten a lot better. So we're here to help, not as completely recovered overthinkers, but people on the journey with you.
We're more like the Sherpas helping you up the mountain in this episode than the people at the top of the mountain. So
There you go.
Would say that
we're Sherpa vibes today.
We're Sherpa vibes. We're gonna get that domain, SherpaVibes.com.
Don't.
No, we won't. When it comes to overthinking, I know from myself, I'm just a thinker. Like that's, you know, I just like to think about things. The challenge is that overthinking where you kind of get caught in a loop. And what I've found is it's like a poison pill almost. Like it makes me feel good to think about it because I'm trying to solve the problem that can't ever be solved. And at the same time, that process is making me feel worse and worse, but I also feel good in this other way. So I don't know if that's relatable to you. Do you find that's kind of how it is for you too? Like it's good and bad at the same time?
Yeah, I think the way that we overthink is a little bit different. I think you have this big brain and like you really think in depth through like all of these different scenarios and like all the different ways that we could do things, all the different ways that we could organize things or invest or things grow the business or whatever it is. You're constantly like learning. And for me, a lot of my overthinking comes like with a healthy dose of anxiety. Like, I can't believe you said that thing in the 7th grade. And you're going to think about that like once a week for the rest of your life. And I'm going to be like, God, if I could just go back as myself now with all my wisdom, you know, or I'm just like, oh, like, you know, I like overthink decisions. I think maybe a lot of people can relate to that. Like, did I make the right choice? Did I do this right thing for my kid? Was it a good idea to move here, to change this job, to take on this client? Like a lot of people, I think, make a decision and they kind of move on. And I like, overthink past decisions I've made, whereas I think you overthink how you're going to do something in the future.
Well, no, I definitely overthink when I'm going to do something in the future. But yeah, I'm still pissed at Tim for saying that to me in grade 7. No, I do. I will go over more recent conversations like that for definitely. I'll be like, what did that mean when they said this? Did they mean it like that? What happens if this happens? So most of my thinking is also overthinking is, I mean, it's anxiety based, right? Like you are trying to find certainty in something that you can't find certainty in. So the thinking kind of tricks you into believing that you'll eventually come to the, you know, to certainty island and you're going to feel great, which you don't. So for me, it's, you know, well, what happens if this happens? And, you know, I've gotten a lot better. I've kind of worked through a lot of that stuff to kind of know that's like an IFS, an internal family systems. It's my inner child kind of needing certainty in a certain moment and being able to say to it, it's okay, you're fine. We're, you know, we've handled everything that's come up so far. The overthinking with the anxiety that you're talking about, like, did I make the right decision on something? How do you get out of that?
Recognize at this stage in the process that I am trying to change something that cannot be changed. And that awareness helps because it is very easy to get into an anxiety overthinking spiral. But if the self-awareness comes in and it's like, hey, you're overthinking about something that happened in the past, or you're overthinking something that you said to the kids last week, whatever, that you wish you hadn't. These things cannot be changed. And me using all of my energy to punish myself or beat myself up about outcomes isn't serving me. And so you have to have the awareness, and then you have to interrupt the cycle with a little bit of logic. And then you have to choose an option that is healthier for you, and that will be different for everybody.
I really like that. I feel with overthinking, like when I'm going through it, there's things I know I should do, and it's almost like an addiction in the sense that, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to journal it down right now because then I'm going to solve it and I'm going to see that this was a 1 minute thought and not a 1 week thought. And I don't know if that's relatable to anybody else listening, but I feel like that is a big thing, is like, it's almost, there's a safety in overthinking for me.
For sure. It's a self-protection mechanism. We overthink because we are trying to soothe ourselves. We are overthinking about a job choice because we don't want to fail. We're overthinking an argument in a relationship because we don't want to get hurt. We are tricking ourselves that if we think about it enough, that means we actually can control an outcome. But the truth is, none of us have control. All control is an illusion on this rock that we all live on called Earth. And there are things that are repetitive and there's things that happen every day. But the truth is that we really don't have control over anything. The words that come out of our mouth, maybe, but that's about it.
I think too, I mean, like even the thoughts that you have, you don't have control. I mean, we have like 30,000, 90,000 thoughts a day. You don't have control over all of them. And you and I will be sitting there working happily, or just, you know, like sitting on the couch or whatever. And then one of us will turn to the other person and say the most like bizarre thing. And I'm not going to like characterize it just for our own privacy's sake, but it'll be like, where did that thought come from? You know, so you don't have control over your thoughts, but you do have control over the reactions to your thoughts. And that comes with practice. And I think that's a really big distinction. So when you catch yourself overthinking or catastrophizing and trying to find a solution to something that, you know, you're clearly not going to solve, is a really important thing to just kind of see it as an outsider's perspective. That's what has helped for me. It's like, oh, look at me. I'm just dancing in the maze right now. I am just whipping around. I am whipping around this thing, never coming out. Okay. So,
oh my gosh.
I will actively now, and this is what's been helping me with overthinking or thinking about things that I don't want to think about. I will force myself to think of something happy. And it takes a different part of your brain to do that. I think it's the prefrontal cortex that does that part of your processing, where overthinking with anxiety and stuff like that, I think that's, I want to say it's your neocortex, but your limbic brain. This is what happens, folks, when you get an accountant trying to explain to you brain stuff. But anyway, different part of your brain clicks on and it helps. What I've been, and I'm applying and I'm putting it to the test right now, and it has been working, is to actively, when those bad thoughts come up of overthinking, of like, should I get fries? Should I get fries? Should I get fries? Should I get fries?
Yes.
I will think, it's always yes to fries. I will think about something else like, oh, that cake was so good last week. Wow, I really love that cake. And I'm looking forward to having more cake. And what it kind of does is it takes your brain from a repetitive loop to breaking that loop and going into something else. But the happiness thing is really good because the idea eventually is that the overthinking is going to be overcome as it's going to become the cue instead of the habit to thinking about positive things. So I thought that was, it's been a really interesting experiment so far.
No, I think that's, I think that's like advanced level type of thing to interrupt a repetitive thought that's probably trends towards anxious with a happy thought. I think it takes a lot of skill to do that. So I commend you on it. I don't know if I would be able to do that in this moment, but it's definitely something I could work towards. I think another helpful tip that may be more beginner level, you know, is really taking the thought out of your head and putting it somewhere else. Because we're talking about swirlies, right? We're talking about just swirly, repetitive, ruminating thoughts. Where you have anxiety over decisions and we're talking about overthinking here to a point of it not being healthy. And so some people might say, oh, well, journal your thoughts down. Yep. You know, we've talked about writing things down. You know, for me, it helps me to tell a therapist, I cannot seem to figure out what the right next step is here. I could go this way or I could go this way, but I can't stop thinking about whatever it is. And that takes your thoughts out of your mind and sort of hands them to somebody you trust and is like, here, what do you think about this? Right? Just getting it out of your body. You can even make like an anonymous Reddit post if you don't want to do any of those. If you don't want to write it down in a notebook and you don't want to go to therapy, just try
it on the internet.
Oh my goodness.
This is not an official recommendation, but what I'm saying is you have to like get it out of your own head. Otherwise, it's like you're trapped by your own thoughts. You got to get an outside opinion on it.
I think you touched on a really good point there because I am somebody like when you're thinking, it's all in your head and getting it out one way or another is very, very vital because whether it's to a therapist, sometimes even just saying the thoughts out loud helps get them out of your brain. It helps get you unstuck in that moment of going like, wow, I am really focused on ketchup right now and the right brand. I really don't need to think about that anymore because it's clearly this one. And I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not going to do bipartisan ketchup things on this show because that's not how I roll. But I think one of the other things that you can do is name it detainment and to just flat out go, I'm catastrophizing again. I'm in my head right now. I'm feeding the bad loop, whatever you need to do. But I think we've talked about feelings before and naming to taming. It's really, really, really useful thing. And it rhymes super awesome. So it's an easy one to remember.
There's another fun hack. You'll have to remind me where we learned this from, but literally naming the thought as like a yappy dog. Where did we learn that?
I don't know, but we used Amy, our friend's little like teacup poodle that was like so loud and yappy and everything.
Annoying.
And annoying. It was just like in your face.
Just like Amy, you know, and that's because like that's your amygdala too. Kind of starts with Amy, and so we're just Amy is going off, you know.
That's where it all came from.
You're welcome.
Yes, I think you saw asked to solve the problem, then you came up with the answer and thanked me for it. So,
sounds about
dang,
right.
You're welcome for that. I had nothing to do with it.
People have no idea what's going on because we're like half talking in our brains right now. Sorry about that, listeners.
Sorry, folks. Moving on.
All that to say is sometimes kind of making light of it, naming it, just being like Amy the yappy dog is like at it again and telling me that, you know, I should move back home or whatever it is and won't leave me alone. Visually say, Amy, it's time to go in your crate. And visualize this repetitive thought that's keeping you up at night, that's bothering you, as just taking a seat over there. We're not saying not to solve it. We're not saying that you can't revisit it. But these are all types of like mental tricks that we use in our daily lives to help manage all of the big decisions and anxieties and worries that come up with just being an adult on the rock.
I agree. One thing I've been doing recently, and this is to help me to fall asleep. So the Instagram video that I saw of this says this is what the military uses. But it's like you do this relaxation process, but then you just start saying to yourself, if you can't get your brain to settle down, you just keep repeating, I'm not thinking, I'm not thinking, I'm not thinking. And it works surprisingly well. And even as I just said it three times, I felt mom come into my body, which is really amazing how it happens. So, you know, again, we're not aiming for perfection. We're just aiming to interrupt the loop that you're in. And by saying you're not thinking, I'm not thinking over and over again, you break that pattern up. And it's really hard for your brain to kind of come back to it. And you'll come back to it, but then you keep going, yeah, it's not going to be perfect. So you're building a new muscle with this. But that's been really, really useful for me the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I just like to go to sleep by hearing the sound of your voice. So, but I mean, that's just for me only. I'm like, yeah, you can just read the side of the cereal box with your voice and I'll fall asleep. But I can't recommend that to anyone else because that's for me.
And if you need to hear my voice to fall asleep, there is this podcast. But just let all them play over and over again because, you know, we could use the listens.
Just keep looping it. You know, at the end of the day, Andrew, it really is about doing something about the overthinking. That is the solution. Because for those of us that maybe have some anxiety or just are in our heads a lot, or we like worry a lot, you know, I'm a mom, you're a dad, we've got lots of friends who are parents. I mean, it's like half of our lives are just worrying about our kids all the time. And even taking a little bit of a small action, doing any of these things that we said, writing it down, talking to somebody else about it, giving it a name, and just recognizing and having the awareness. It's like, look, I am on a loop. I am just so worried about this. I'm going to make myself sick. Taking some type of small action can really break up that loop and can really help.
Speaking of action, get outside and move around. That is probably one of the best ones that I know my therapist has recommended. I know we read it everywhere. Just the act of like, okay, I'm, you know, it's an hour's gone by and I'm still thinking about this thing. You go outside for a walk, that movement does something in your body that helps actually get you unstuck. So it's, again, a very, very useful, practical thing that most of us can do at any point. Just that movement, even just walking around your bedroom or your condo or your house, it just helps to get you unstuck. Another one that can help is a grounding technique like the 5-4-3-2-1, where you list five things you can see, five things you can feel, five things you can hear. Then you do four things you can see, feel, and hear, three things, three, and all the way down to one. And again, you're breaking that loop up again, which is all we're trying to do, is to get you out of your head into your body and moving on with your day. Because it's, your life is meant to be lived. You're meant to be enjoying life. I know it doesn't feel like that some days, especially as anxious overthinkers. But the more you get out there, the more you get out of your head into your body and out in the world, the better you feel. And that's been my, I'm coming off of surgery. I was literally stuck in my house for a month and it sucked, because I couldn't move. But the minute that I could start moving, the overthinking came down so much, because that movement is, it just unlocks so many things inside of you.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite things to say that we have brought up several times in previous episodes is that there are no wrong decisions. Every decision is either going to be a lesson that's good, or it's going to be a lesson that, you know, not necessarily bad, but that, you know, you learn something from and it helps you grow. And so when you're grappling with things, or you have all these worries, or like, am I doing enough for my kid? Why am I not getting the promotion at work? And you're just ruminating over these things. You know, every choice you make, every action you take is a step forward that gets you out of the loop. So I love saying that. I love reminding myself that there are no bad decisions. There's just choices. You can go one way or another, and you'll find out the results of it when you get there.
Yeah, it's just, you're getting more feedback. And when you get more feedback, you can alter your decisions. You can move to a new city. And if you don't like that city, you can move back. We know people that have done that, and quite quickly too. Mm-hmm. You can choose to go on a trip and you can get there and be like, this is not what I thought it was going to be, and stay in the airport and get on the next plane home if you want to. There's no wrong experience when it comes to that. It's the judgment that we give that experience that is really the issue. So when you're caught in these thoughts and like, I don't know if I'm going to make the right decision, make any decision. The trick is, after you make that decision, you're going to feel something. And, you know, it's kind of like we'll do the coin toss, where it's like, okay, I don't know if we should go to this movie or that movie. Okay, heads, we'll go see the action movie. tails will go see the comedy, and we get heads and we go, oh, I really wanted to go see the comedy. And so then we know we got, you know, like sometimes you need the decision made for you to go, no, I don't want that. I want the other thing. Yeah. And you just go do the other thing. It's often we get so obsessed with making the right choice that we forget that it's not necessarily the right choice. You know, like we probably already know what we want to do. We're just delaying the inevitable or the thing that we want to do.
Mm, I love that. Yeah. I try to tell the kids that too. Like, you know, the answer, you just have to get still enough to allow the answer to float up to you. We often know what we are supposed to do. Our bodies know. It just takes a while for that to click and for us to have the courage and take the leap. But as Andrew said, that's what life's about. It's about living. And we know that there are a lot of things going on in the world. And we know that there are a lot of demands on people, on their time, on their energy, on their emotions, now more than ever. And I know it's easy to get stuck in your head. But if you can come at it with some self-compassion, if you can tell yourself nice things like, you're worrying about this because you're a good person, good coworker, spouse, parent, child. You're a good person, and that's why you care about this. But I'm going to make a choice because I'm going to give myself that gift of mental peace. So a lot of self-compassion. We've been really big on self-compassion lately.
Yeah, we have. And if you're wondering how to kind of settle into your body, because that can be really, really hard. Easy method to do is just to put your hand on your heart and then just breathe into your heart for a couple of breaths, just to kind of get yourself from your head down into your heart. And then when you get a little calm or a lot calm, ask yourself the question that you're overthinking about. And you will find that the answer pops up immediately. And that has been that's been a game changer for me personally. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, great. It's that ego that kind of comes up and goes, oh, it's going to be so much work to do this and then that. And then we're going to have to do this other thing. And I don't want to move things around and all these things. And, you know, then you find out like, wow, no, I actually really wanted to do it. And I'm grateful I get to do it.
I actually think that's a really good spot to end.
All right. Well, that will bring us to the glimmers of this week. Catherine, what is your glimmer?
I have so many glimmers. You're coming to visit tomorrow.
That was mine. But that's okay. We can both have the same glimmer that we get
dual,
to see each
double
other.
Glimmer.
There we go.
Split our time between the U.S. and Canada, and we go back and forth every month. And now I have to clean my house, but it's glimmery because it's for a good reason and not, you know, just because.
And I need to go pack right now because I leave tomorrow morning. So folks, thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode has helped you with your overthinking. I know we threw a lot at you. You're probably going to want to listen to it a couple of times, but start with one and just work at it. It gets better as it goes. And the more you do it, the better you'll be.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.